Hey, you want that to go?
Yeah, we have your takeouts on news stories we're following this week. But first, a quick correction to my esteemed co-host, Tuds Willick. I looked it up. It's Alabamian.
Alabamian?
Yeah, there's no Alabaman. Except in Todd's Willick land.
Send your complaints to the news department at thetakeaway.org. At least it's not Bama, so I didn't say that.
Let's talk about Alabama's football team. And the reason we're talking about this is because we are waiting for news on the Heisman Trophy. That award is going to be given out on Saturday.
Shotgun snap, McCoy. Scrambles left, under pressure. Throws it for the end zone. Cosby, caught. Touchdown, Texas.
Mark Ingram now in the Wildcat formation. Just going to take the direct snap and take off. Ingram. Touchdown!
Sats throws, batted down, intercepted at Dabakatsu! Sue to the 20, 15, Hawkins traps him, knocks him, touchdown Sue!
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is out of town today, so to give us the rundown on early predictions of Heisman winners, I guess, Pablo Torre is a reporter with Sports Illustrated. Good morning, Pablo.
Good morning, guys.
We just heard some tape from three Heisman candidates. Are they our top runners, Colt McCoy, Mark Ingram, and Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah, and then you have another kid, actually a fourth, Toby Gerhardt out of Stanford. But those are the four. You got Ingram, McCoy, Sue, Gerhardt, with Tim Tebow as the fifth. He was invited also, but those four are really the top four candidates
okay.
we have going.
Bookend these for me. Who's most likely and who's least likely?
Yeah, the number one guy, it's really close race, all within about 14 points, according to the most reliable projections. Mark Ingram, the best player, arguably on the best team, is the favorite, with Toby Gerhardt out of Stanford, another running back, coming in second, followed by Ndamukong Suh, then Colt McCoy, then it was distant fifth, you got Tim Tebow.
Can it just be Colt McCoy? Because the guy's name, he was born to be a football player. Come on, Colt McCoy?
Yeah, he needs to be a Western gunslinger, if not a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, I think.
All right, so moving on from the Heisman, let's talk about Notre Dame, because they are getting a new head coach. Brian Kelly has agreed to a five-year deal with Notre Dame, but he's leaving because of the rules. He's leaving his own team right before playoffs and moving to Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's been a chaotic week in college football. He agreed to a five-year deal with Notre Dame, coached the unranked in the preseason Cincinnati Bearcats to a 12-0 record. But, yeah, he's leaving his team, and as you can understand, his players at Cincinnati aren't too happy about it. Marty Gilliard, the wide receiver, criticized him, felt betrayed. But, you know, this is a decision that's a no-brainer as far as the money goes. So you can't really blame the guy, I think.
Well, you could kind of blame him a little,
yeah,
I think.
You could kind of blame him.
Okay. Pablo Torre is a reporter with Sports Illustrated. Thanks so much.
Okay, our next takeout comes from Newsday film critic Rafer Guzman, who joins us to look at the big movies opening this weekend. We've got three of them. First is Invictus, Clint Eastwood's newest film, starring, of course, Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela, Matt Damon as a rugby star who Nelson Mandela tries to motivate to win the World Rugby Cup. What do you think of this film?
I think it's a pretty standard Hollywood sports drama. I think the acting is generally pretty good. Matt Damon gets a little sidelined. There's not a lot of Matt Damon in the film. It's mostly Nelson Mandela.
I like more Matt Damon in my films.
Yeah, I'm a big Matt Damon fan as well. But it's mostly Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela.
I have
doing
no problem
a lot of,
with that. I like more
sure.
Morgan Freeman.
And he's a great speaker. He's got that great voice, and he does it very well.
But you're suggesting a little bit formulaic. That's what I'm
detecting. It's a little bit formulaic. It's based on a true story, and I think that gives them not much leeway to play around with the characters.
Yeah, we know how this ends.
We do know how this ends. You can Google that pretty easily.
Exactly.
But there's not a lot of character interaction that's very emotionally engaging in the story.
Okay,
we want to move on to Lovely Bones, a new Peter Jackson film. Let's listen to this.
I was 14 years old when I was murdered.
You're the Salmon Girl, right?
On December 6th, 1973. I wasn't gone. I was alive in my own perfect world.
Rafer, Peter Jackson is directing this. I saw the trailer for this, and I was watching it saying, interesting. And then they said, directed by Peter Jackson. And I went, seeing it, Lord of the Rings, I'm going.
Yeah, you mentioned you're a Lord of the Rings fan. I think if you're a Heavenly Creatures fan, you're going to be a little more interested in this.
You know, this was a great book.
Yes.
But it was also, as a parent, a very disturbing book.
Yes.
How does he handle that balance?
For better or for worse, he glosses over it. You never quite find out what the villain, who is Stanley Tucci, who's great, by the way.
Who's always great.
You never quite find out what it is he has done to little Susie Salmon, which, you know, maybe for the best, and maybe you don't need to know. But there is, I in some way found that a little frustrating, actually, that I never quite knew the nitty-gritty of the crime.
All right, let's hit Colin Firth starring in A Single Man. Everybody says Single Man, then they say Oscar buzz. I'm always a little dubious about that because Oscar buzz is sort of put out there by the PR firm representing the film. Is it good enough for Oscar buzz?
I think there are still a few films left in the year that I have not seen, but so far I think this is the best film I've seen all year.
Best film you've seen all year?
I think so.
Wow.
All right, there's an endorsement. Go see A Single Man starring Colin Firth, Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Thanks for keeping us up to date on the movies.
Thanks for having
me. Our last takeout comes from you, and we still have a lively conversation going about Disney princesses. We talked about the new Princess and the Frog movie earlier this week. It's getting a lot of attention as the first Disney movie to feature a black princess, but it's not the color of the princess that has one family talking.
My name is Marcia Davis, and I'm calling from Florence, South Carolina. My granddaughter, she's 4 years old, she has a little problem with the princess. The reason why is because the princess is a frog most of the time. She said, Grandma, she said, why she got to be a frog? I said, well, baby, I don't know. I said, but we're going to go to the movie and we're going to see if her being a frog is all right. She said, well, Grandma, I don't like frogs.
Well, if a Disney heroine can't be a frog, then what can she be?
Hi, putting the princesses to the side and the question of whether or not they're good role models, I was, as a father of a 5-year-old girl, very pleasantly surprised by the first Tinkerbell movie that was out on DVD. The main plot of which is essentially Tinkerbell coming to grips with her identity as an engineer, essentially. I was very happy to let my daughter watch that.
Tinkerbell is an engineer, the princess is a frog. If you want to weigh on at anything, you can let us know at 8778-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're going to be talking to you also about the president and what's next for him now that he's won the Nobel Peace Prize. Let us know.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.